That's awesome.
Like literally just like you're like, let me just tell you how it was.
I'll tell you how it was. I said, I'm applying for every job CEO and above.
That's incredible. Talk about taking a shot.
And I quickly learned that the world does not work that way. You know, people do not hire 21-year-old CEOs with very little work experience, you know, fresh out of college. So I started climbing my way down the corporate ladder until I fell off the bottom rung, hit the ground, and started digging a hole. And then a year after I graduated from college, I looked up and I was so deep in that hole it was over my head. I was 20, 30 pounds heavier than when I had left college. I was relying a lot on alcohol. I was just in a bad, bad physical and mental headspace. And I was like, ooh, man, I'm a fucking mess. Like, pardon my French, but
we're on cable. It's okay.
All right, cool. Good. Yeah. I was a fucking mess. And I decided that, and here it finally, I was like, I got to do something. I have no money. I got to do something. So I went and applied to be a grocery store bag boy and got turned down for the job. That's how much of a mess I was. And after that, I said, all right, well, I got to take something into my hands. And the one thing that I think I can control is my physical fitness. And so I can't really afford, I don't have any money, so I can't join a gym. I can't, join the rock climbing gym. I can't, do any of that because, again, no money. But I can run. And so I jumped online and reached out to some websites and connected with people that in the running community. And there was a website that advertised that they partnered blind and sighted runners together. And so you could search via zip code. I plugged in my zip code where I was living at the time. Two people popped up. I sent emails to both of them. One of them replied, beggars can't be choosers. And so I wound up going for a run with that guy. And he happened to be a triathlete. And, growing up, I was just always like, running is stupid. Why do I want to run?
I'm in that camp. There's this thing that I remember being on the baseball and football field where there was track kids all and cross country kids said, your punishment is my sport. And I fully resonated with that quote and said, you are 100% right. I want nothing to do with that sport. So I give you kudos just from your background of being in the running and biking thing, because that just sounds terrible. But kudos, man. I really, I'll applaud you from the sideline with my beer.
No, for sure. And so I was like, running is stupid. Why would I want to do this? Like, and I'm out for a run with this guy, and he's like, yeah, running is stupid. You should do triathlon. I was like, cool, what's that?
Just 10x it. I got it. Yeah. Let's really make it pain.
And I later found out that he just really was getting frustrated with training and stuff on his own. So he wanted someone to suffer with. And
he just roped you right in.
He roped me right in. And and I was a slow guy to start out with. And he took me under his wing and taught me everything he knew about triathlon. We did a bunch of races together over the course of a couple of years. We actually wound up living together, rooming together for a couple of years, as well. And eventually I fell in love with the process of triathlon. I wasn't really good at swimming, biking, or running, but what I happened to be good at was putting the puzzle together, of how to swim, how to transition to the bike, and how to transition from the bike to the run. And I just kept plugging away at it, getting faster, getting stronger. And, in 2018, I looked up and I had been doing this sport for, I had been involved in triathlon now for, 3-4 years. And it turns out I was getting pretty quick, and USA Triathlon reached out to me and they We're like, hey, we're hosting a talent identification camp at the Olympic and Paralympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. Why don't you come, you know, learn a little bit about, you know, triathlon at the Paralympic level. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, I at that time, I had no intention or no desire to try and compete at the Paralympic level, but went to the camp, did all right at the camp, I guess. And one of the coaches sat down with me and said, hey, you got some promise. Like, you were a slow dude a few years ago, but like, you know, I've kept my eye on you, and you know, they're opening up spots to, you know, to athletes here at the training center. I'd strongly encourage you to apply for one. And so I applied for one, had an interview with the head coach of the paratriathlon resident team at the training center at the time. And he was like, dude, let's turn your hard-headedness of wrestling and, you know, adventure seeking, rock climbing, skiing, you know, just that attitude. Let's turn it toward high performance sport. And so I moved to Colorado Springs, moved to the Olympic Paralympic Training Center at the beginning of 2019. And just, again, with, you know, the tangible goal was to make it to the Paralympics in Tokyo. And then, you know, to medal at the Paris 2024 Paralympic Games. So those were the tangible goals. But really, my focus was, I just wanted to see what I could do. I just wanted to see how high I could push that bar. And, you know, I wanted to see how high I could reach by, you know, I had raised my floor so high, you know, I didn't feel like I had I felt like my ceiling was pretty low. But my floor was also really low. So I just kept raising the floor until my head hit the ceiling. And then, and then that's when I started pushing on the ceiling and pushing it up a little bit. And that's when I started raising the bar, just all over and over and over again. You know, and I went from, I think my first ever 5K that I did back in like 2014 was like 30 something minutes to, you know, in, you know, look up in Paris in 2024, I'm running a sub 18 minute 5K off the bike. So, you know, just goes to show that persistence and hard-headedness and stubbornness and a willing to do the basics to a high level consistently, just doing simple well and then doing simple better, produces results.
So what I heard on that one is there was this question of your capacity that you innately had for yourself of like, what's my actual capacity? And then there was like a natural competitiveness, because you say floor to ceiling, and you don't have anybody. When you're talking, like, I see this when I interview people, like, there's a different type of mentality between people that play sports and people that don't play sports. And then there's a different type of competitiveness that people have on team sports as opposed to individual, maybe dual sports, right? What do you have? What advice could you give to people around internal competitiveness? I usually talk about when I'm interviewing someone is like, do they have internal drive? Like, I'm trying to figure out in my interview process, like, do you have your own level of internal drive? Like, you can go back to a lot of like different coaches and things like that. Is it like, I'll coach a lot of people, but I'm trying to test for internal drive, because that's the one thing you can't instill into somebody. You either got it or you don't got it.
Yep. I mean, look, there, you know, I see it this way. There are three things that motivate people. We are motivated by, you know, things that make us uncomfortable. We run away from those. We run towards stuff that makes us more comfortable, and we do things that make our heart sing. For me, the secret sauce is, how can we balance and tap into all three of those? You know, so for me, I wanted to be successful. I wanted that comfort of, you know, knowing that I did it. You know, I was successful. I, you know, those accolades of, you know, getting medals, or becoming a Paralympian, something along those lines. I was running away from, you know, that, you know, that sluggishness, that awful feeling that I had, you know, when I would just laze around on my couch all day, you know, feeling sorry for myself. That just sucked. You know, so I'm running away from that. And then at the end of the day, I loved pushing myself to, you know, a whole new level, you know, to finding a new level of, wow, I set out to do something that seems crazy and I accomplished it. Like I love pursuing and overcoming challenges. You know, that does make my heart sing. And so how do we tap into all that? Like we have to know ourselves. We have to dig deep and figure out who we are. Like what do we like to do? What are the goals we want to accomplish? And then we have to ask ourselves why? And we just keep asking ourselves, and we really dig down into that. Because if we know ourselves, then, you know, or if we seek to know ourselves, because I mean, I'm always pursuing knowing myself better. And then I'm always pursuing knowing other people better. And just understanding that there's no such thing as the best. There's just getting better. So, you know, that's always been my mentality. Whether that's innate, you know, whether everybody has that, I don't know. But I think that's, you know, that's a real key, in that we have to understand that the only thing we can do is just do better or work to get better.
You know, I mean, in the short time that we've had a conversation here, right, there's no doubt in my mind, just from hearing you speak and how you present yourself, that there is no limitations to what you can accomplish, right? And but what I would hear you tell those stories, I think of your journey to self-mastery. Like you're recognizing in yourself that there are challenges, mm-hmm. there are things you need to overcome, but there are things that you want to keep growing at. Like, but at the same time, there are obstacles to everything, right? There may be days where you said getting off the couch at one point in time was something that was appealing because it was easier.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that drive? What is the thing that keeps driving you to not draw back to that?
Oh man, what is the thing that keeps me just not wanting to get back to that? Oh, I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I have this desire to achieve. I have this desire to be a high performer. My parents were high performers themselves. My dad, you know, came of age in the Marine Corps and worked, you know, and after he got out of the Marine Corps, he worked his way up from, you know, being a janitor to, you know, working in an engine room to, you know, being an advisor to, you know, the CEO of a company to, you know, eventually building one of the best known, you know, frozen burger brands in the United States. And my dad,
was it Bubba Burgers?
Yes, it is.
So, I can't believe I just guessed that without even knowing. That is incredible. Sorry, Tyler, you're on a roll, but I was like, oh, really? No. That is incredible, man. Small world.
Yep. So that was our family business growing up. You know, my dad and his business partner took over Bubba when it was a very small, almost bankrupt regional brand. And over the last 25 years, turned it into the powerhouse and well-known brand that it is. And in order to do that, we had to live the entrepreneurial lifestyle of, we were the, like our family, we were the business. that, like, and we lived it. And, you know, so I, like, I saw where, you know, cause we were on the verge of medical bankruptcy when I, you know, when I came out, you know, when I got, you know, my final surgery to remove my right eye, and to see, you know, and, you know, now talking with my parents and actually, you know, having the mental capacity to understand where we came from as a family, the hardships that we did go through, to where they are, you know, to where my parents are now, to where, you know, my sisters are all very successful, you know, people, I've gone on to, you know, achieve a thing or two and, you know, in my short 33 years, just like it's just been, that's been who I am as a person. And like, I don't, like, when I fail to push myself to those new heights, man, it hurts. It sucks. And like, it's this stabbing feeling in my heart or my mind where I'm just like, man, did I actually give it everything I had? Did I, you know, did I give it all? Did I give it my all? And if the answer is no, then there's stuff to work on. And that's, you know, and I have this relentless desire and drive to be the best that I can possibly be. And the more I learn about myself, the more I learn about the world, the more I learn about communication, sales, you know, business, all that, the less I realize, the more I realize that I don't know very much. And so there's so much to learn out there.
It's kind of crazy, right? Like, as much as we know is trumped by how much we couldn't possibly know.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You're, it's allowing amazing. Yourself to recognize that, right, is a big lift.
Yeah.
Well, it's what you're hitting on, Dave, is this, the inverse reality of education, that when you go on a journey of education, you start to become aware of how little you know. So as you're gaining more information, you start to realize how little you actually know. So there's like this vicious cycle of education and knowledge that starts to give perspective on how little you know, even though you've learned so much more than you did 10 years ago. So sorry, I didn't interrupt, but I feel that pain on a regular basis.
Well, and, you know, and look, there's so much we can learn from, you know, from books and from, you know, being in school and college and all that. But, you know, then there's also a lot of stuff that we learn out in the real world. And, you know, we got to put it into practical application. And then, you know, neither of my parents graduated from college, but, you know, they still educated themselves. I gained more knowledge and education, you know, after my formal schooling, than I did in the, you know, in the, what was it, 12 year, you know, 12, 14, you know, 15 years of formal schooling that I did have. So, it's, as long as we have that thirst to continue to learn and grow, like the beauty of the United States of America and, you know, this world of entrepreneurship is that the world is our oyster. Like, it is up to us to decide, you know, how far we want to go, how high we want to go. It's attitude is everything. You know, it starts with me. You know, if I'm going to point a finger, and say, you know, the government is the reason I'm not successful, or, you know, you over there, you're holding me back. Well, if I point, well, I look at my hand here and I got three fingers pointing straight back at me. So, so it starts with me, and, you know, and that's, you know, and once we realize that, control is in our hands, and then it's up to us to put the right people around us to help us achieve more than we ever dreamed.
Your story is incredibly inspiring, and just your journey alone from what you've overcome to what you've decided to do. But you've made some additional changes. So you've gone from athlete to entrepreneur, and you're now impacting other people's, right? You could have just kind of lived in your world of being an athlete and training and coaching others. You've also decided to realize that, hey, my story bleeds over into other areas. So deciding to come out and be a coach or a mentor and a trainer, that's a conscious choice too. That's different from the amount of miles you have to run. There are miles, right, and journeys you have to go on in that capacity too. How do you come full circle that and say, my story applies to so many other areas, right? And who I am as a person, right? My mastery and my motivation, right? I can help coach others to be successful.
You know, it's easy to, you know, it's easy to say that you want to, you know, coach others. It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder to do. And, you know, and you have to have people out there that are saying, hey, like, you do have skills, and you do have a story to tell, and you can, you know, people can learn a lot. And for a long time, you know, I heard those things, and I, you know, made the decision not to pursue that avenue. But you know, now with, you know, more experience under my belt, you know, having lived through a lot of ups and downs and overcome various challenges, and you know, learning how to, you know, translate, you know, challenges of blindness or the challenges of sport, learning how to translate those into other areas of life, whether that be business, whether that be communication. It's been a journey. It's definitely a new journey. It's I still am. You know, there's this old saying that, you know, when one teaches, two learn. And I'm still on a quest to learn about myself. And, you know, the best way for me to learn more about myself is to help others learn about themselves, is to help others reach their desired levels of success. If I dedicated the next 4 years to, you know, if I poured absolutely everything into it, could I medal at the LA 2028 Paralympic Games? Maybe. I don't know. But there was a, you know, I was part of a, you know, the paratriathlon resident team for, you know, 6 or 7 years from, you know, 2019 to end of 2024. And in the, you know, 6 months leading into the Paralympic Games, I was roommates with an above the knee amputee who actually wound up medaling at the Paralympic Games. He won a silver medal. And when the Paralympics were over, I realized that I was happier that Muhammad had won a silver medal than I had made it to the games. I was happier for my teammate Muhammad. I was happier for my teammate Haley, who, you know, came home with a gold medal. I was more excited for those people, and you know, my teammate Mark, and all the people that achieved their goals, and you know, all the discussions, and you know, the training sessions that where I encouraged and helped to push them to new heights. I was more excited for them than I was, you know, my own accomplishments. And I was just like, wow, I really enjoy this feeling of helping other people achieve their goals and their success. And you know, that's when I really made this mental shift toward, I can help other people achieve more. And I, you know, the way I've decided to do that is through, you know, sharing effective communicate, you know, tactics for effective communication.
You know, and I, when I look back over this conversation, and I look at the decisions that people make, and I hear your choice, we can come back to that. Mm-hmm. And there's the things that we go through life, a lot of times we say, surround yourself with people. You did that. Now, you were fortunate that you had a great tribe to begin with, mm-hmm. but you also went out and found others to surround yep. yourself with, to drive you, right? Or like a better term, we talk about people being paralyzed by indecision, where here you are legitimately paralyzed in challenges and there was no indecision, right? However, that's their challenge and that's their burden to overcome, right? And your acronym of fear, right, just really kind of ties that all together, is that we all have things. Some are more apparent than others, right? Not everything is surface deep.
Yep.
Paralyzing indecision is a massive thing for people to overcome. So when I look at your story and all the decisions and the choices, and again, we talked a lot of pauses, and obviously there have been many hurdles we could talk for another hour about.
Oh, yeah,
easily. Things, right? But I just really appreciate you, and those are things that resonated with me through your story. And I appreciate you spending the time with us this afternoon, just kind of give us a little bit of a glimpse in what makes Kyle tick and who you've become. And thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you guys. Really, really appreciate your time. And, you know, look, you know, we all have limitations. We all have limits. We all have to overcome challenges. And, you know, I view my role in the world is helping other people recognize where your limits are and then expanding them. So that eventually what we can do is you can live without limits and you can keep an eye on your vision and live without limits. So that's my role in the world.
All right. Well, we'll drop it with that. Live without limits. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us on another great episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. And Kyle, thank you for taking the time to impact our audience.
Thank you.